You know, there are more opportunities for seniors, or whatever you want to call yourselves, older, adults, mature.
Aged children.
Right? There are more things available to you than people take advantage of. I come from Florida, where a third of our population is over 65 in Broward County. And yet there are many who don't know what services are available to them. And I used to work for the nutrition program for a number of years, and we served in 35 congregate meal sites, and we had about 400 on our home-delivered meals, meals on wheels, and we had kosher programs as well. But a lot of people didn't know about it. And you should know what's available to you in your community. You have a support system, friends and acquaintances outside of work. This is very important for people who are going to retire. We conducted a survey down in Florida, the Lutheran churches together, including Missouri Synod, and we found out that the thing that older folks wanted the most was a friendly visit. Not just from the pastor, but from people within the parish. And loneliness was the biggest problem that they had indicated. So I used to have sessions, you know, for friendly visitors. We called them seagulls. You know, Jonathan Seagull in that story. And we used to meet for 3 weeks, twice a week, and tell them all about how to do friendly visiting. It's not an easy thing to do. Some people don't like to do that. And yet we should, as a church, be interested to go out and help people in this time of life. Have you considered meaningful retirement roles that will substitute for work roles? Somebody was saying, if I volunteer, is that a good opportunity? You know what RSVP is?
Yes.
The Retired Senior Volunteer Program? I used to be chairman of the advisory council for that in Broward County, and that's one of the most important programs that we have for older adults, because it gives them an opportunity to do something very significant. There are also other kinds of programs, like the grandparent program, senior grandparents, the senior companion program. All of these are action programs which are sponsored by the government and for which people get some kind of help. Like under the RSVP, they get insurance. Some of them receive transportation expenses. In the foster grandparent program, they get a stipend because they come from lower economic levels. Do you have an up-to-date will? This is very important. We're going to have a session tonight on death and dying, who lives, who dies, and so forth. What have you decided about your organs, about your body? I'm going to give mine to the closest university hospital that'll take it, if they have need for it. Maybe not everybody has that same idea. Do you have a professional financial advisor? Do you have a workable budget? And so on and so forth. You can go through all of these questions and see where you stand. What we plan to do this week is, tonight we're going to talk about the challenge of the future, attitudes and role adjustment, and the 8 steps to a happier living. Tomorrow we're going to talk about dynamic fitness and dealing with stress, meaningful use of time, how to reap the rewards of time well spent. On Wednesday we're going to cover housing and lifestyle, tips for writing a resume and working options. On Thursday, financial security, and on Friday, legal affairs and estate planning. Before you leave tonight, I'm going to give you one of these. It's got all the answers in it. Not quite, but it's a summary of what AARP has in their pre-retirement planning program. They have a much bigger book, which I have up here. See it? This has all the answers in it. But we're going to be discussing this together, and hopefully we'll learn from each other. This morning we had a session on aging, and Howard was telling us about how many older people there are going to be. Well, this is the diagram which is in this book here. And it's people over 65 in millions as a percentage of the total U.S. population. In the year 1900, 3.1 million, 4% of the population. 1930, 6.6 million, 5%. 1980, 25.5 million, 11%. In the year 2000, 34.9, 13.03%. You know where the biggest percentage of the elderly are going to be? Not just over 65, but the biggest increase is in the old, as Howard calls them, the frail elderly, those 85 and over. And this is what we have to plan for. And this is what you have to plan for in your retirement so that you can adequately take care of your needs. How many received this publication, Modern Maturity? You know, this is the largest circulation of any magazine in the world. It even beats out Reader's Digest now and TV Guide. It's the best $5 membership you can have. Retirement is a relatively recent phenomenon. In fact, the concept of retiring from work was unheard of until this century. In the past, most people worked until they either died or otherwise became unable to provide for themselves and their families. Social Security came about in 1935, and it ushered in a new era. For the first time in history, Americans aged 65 and older were guaranteed a continuing source of supplemental income. During the 1940s and 50s, the number of private pension plans grew rapidly as many employers set up programs to provide retirement benefits for their employees. These two developments were meant to help retirees enjoy financial independence and increased leisure time. In the 1980s, there are many different meanings for retirement. Offers have expanded options and opportunities for new careers. I've retired a number of times, and I'm now in the process of going into something special, which I feel is going to be a real opportunity for me. This gentleman back here said he retired, what, three times?
Twice.
But he's getting three pensions or something.
Well, basically what I'm getting is two pensions, but one of them is broken down several different ways.
Okay. That's why he's a triple dipper. And you're challenging the size and the opportunity to create your ideal retirement lifestyle. We talked about the demographics. We know that today's retirees live longer, healthier, and more active lives. Some of the people who were in the session this morning were from Sun City in Arizona. You know where that is.
Right.
They have plenty of retirees down there. And they live for a long time. They're better educated with higher expectations, and they're growing in numbers and potential political clout. With 30 million members, AARP has a lot of clout. And when we talk about the advocacy and the needs of our older adults, we're right up there on the hill. And we're working for long-term care. We're working for all of the things which will be necessary for being able to take care of people in retirement. How many feel that Social Security is is not going to be available in the future. Do you think it's a problem? What's the matter with it?
Well, whenever there's any money sitting around laying loose, they're going to spend it. And then it's going to be, then they'll kind of, after it's gone, they'll try to go, what happened?
Well, people don't understand really that Social Security is untouchable. The money that comes in for Social Security. It's not a part of the total budget, although when they have the budget, review, they put it in there and they consider it as part of the total, which brings down what the debt is that we have. But they can't touch it without special legislation.
Didn't they borrow from it, though,
oh,
some years ago?
Did they borrow from it?
Yes.
How much did they borrow?
Borrowed from the Social Security.
No, what they did, they refigured what people were going to receive under Social Security because they were finding that they were going to get more than they were entitled to because of the increases which come about by the yearly increase. So that those of us who were born in 1917 are what we call notch babies. And some of us receive approximately $100 less than people who were born in 1916. But there's nothing can be done about that. Yes?
I understand that the fund is going to exceed $1 trillion by the time it gets up to 2010.
Right.
And that's what frightens me, because when that large sum of money is floating around like that, there's an awful lot of itchy fingers in Congress.
Oh, there's always itchy fingers, right, sure.
And that's why you have to be very alert to it.
Right. The major concern today is not for Social Security, for the retirement benefits, but it's for the Medicare. The Medicare benefits, which are increasing all the time. And you know the legislation which was just passed recently by Congress, which will take care of some of those things coming up next year and the year after that and so forth, in long-term care, are going to cost more as far as Medicare is concerned and what older adults are going to pay into that. There is a growing number and a potential political clout, and we have greater responsibility for long-term planning and all aspects of retirement life, including health and fitness, housing, the use of time and financial security. What are the major steps now in planning retirement? To identify your wants and needs, to set priorities among them, to develop a plan for achieving retirement goals, to do some dry runs to test plans before retirement, to identify support systems that will disappear in retirement, to determine how to replace those systems. I used to conduct a course called 10 to Get Ready. This was also based on what Dr. Umhoff Wolf used to do. And it meant that 10 years before you're ready for retirement, you should start planning. Most of us didn't have that time, right?
I think they should start much before that.
They should.
The ALC did the same thing. We went to our first pre-retirement conference when we were 55.
Uh-huh.
You should start long before that.
Right. Especially in long-term care. You know, you can afford long-term care insurance if you start early enough.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry. But most people never even give it a thought. What we need to do also is to determine how to replace the rewards of work, status, recognition, structure, friendships, participation, and a sense of challenge. We need to identify community resources and professional advisors. We need to continue to review and revise retirement planning in a process, not just a one-time activity. What are the keys to successful transition? They're talking this year at Holden Village about transition. The keys to it are a positive, expectant attitude, daily, weekly schedules, but flexible, specific goals, meaningful relationships, a sense of challenge and stimulation. And these topics, which I mentioned we're going to be covering this week together, are included in all of that. Now, let's just say a few things about attitude and role adjustments. In retirement, we have an opportunity to recreate our life. For people play many roles throughout their lives and are given each time they come to a new stage in life, a different opportunity. How many of you have read Gail Sheely's book? You know her book on passages? That we all go through certain passages in life? Well, she wrote a new book after that, which deals with the opportunities we have in life, which come about to those who are in this age of retirement. For retirement provides the time and the freedom and the flexibility to varying roles according to interests and resources and your health. Who are you now? What do you want to be? We're going to give you an opportunity to think about that. We're going to say, who would you like to be? Retirement offers you the unique opportunity to pursue in depth interests that you have not had time for earlier. This is another free sheet which AARP gives you. And you can take that along and think about it and see what you want to do about it. You need to identify your vital support system now, for they contribute to your emotional, mental, and your financial well-being. How many of you receive support from your own church, from your own parish, in your retirement? Yes?
You know, they have a very active golden citizens. What are they called? No, golden shepherds. That's the group that's here, 39 of us from the congregation.
This is the group that had the bus ride from Minnesota.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's been very active.
Mm-hmm. And you have an opportunity that way to fulfill many of the desires which you need in this time of your life. Changing roles for partners. You know, when somebody retires, the wife says, I married you, but not for lunch every day. Mm. Right?
For better, for worse, but not for
lunch. Right. For better, for worse, but not for lunch. So I try not to eat lunch at home too often. And my wife always says I had more to eat than she has to eat. But it works out. Some people are not with husbands and wives in their retiring years. Some people are single in retirement. And single living offers many benefits as well as freedoms. And singles must evaluate support systems, especially if they're thinking of moving in retirement. Most older people, especially women, become single through divorce or widowhood. We were talking this morning in Howard's class about most of our congregations are 50% older people and many widows and widowers are there. You know what the widowed person service is? Did you ever hear of that? That's a program of AARP to help people who are widowed. And there's a one-to-one relationship of people who have been trained because of the death of a spouse to help those that are going through that situation. Most older persons, especially women, need to plan for their finances and their emotions to the best extent that they can. They need to make sure and understand family finances You know, I was called into a condominium one day when I was working for the service agency for senior citizens, and the lady had lost her husband, and she said she'd never written a check in her life. And she didn't know what to do. So I had to help her straighten out her finances. When I worked for hospice care in Broward County, we had many people who got so many bills from Medicare that they couldn't understand them. And we had to have special social workers go out and assist them in getting through this maze of Medicare forms and bills from the doctors and from the hospitals and so forth. We need to be aware of the community support groups that do exist. And of course, some people are caught in the middle, in midlife. You know what the sandwich generation is? Somebody else should know what the sandwich generation is.
They're caring for their parents, but they still have children that they're responsible
for. That's right.
For.
That's right. I put on a conference a year ago this month called Hand in Hand. This is also a program of AARP for people who are trying to take care of their older parents while they still have children of their own, the sandwich generation. They're caught in the middle. They need to balance their needs with those of their dependents. They need to obtain help from family and community agencies or from religious organizations. The church has been a little slow in really getting active in this whole matter of aging. A couple of years ago, we put on a conference in Washington for seminary professors who would be talking to seminarians about aging. You know what I had in seminary when I went to Philadelphia? They took us out to a nursing home and they said, "Now you minister to these people out there." That was it. That was our instructions in aging. Now we have specially trained members of the faculty at the seminary who are given help by AARP to do something about ministering with the aging. We need to seek help to resolve internal or external conflicts from family service agencies, from religious advisors, and others. We need to have a bond with the young, for the grandparent role is significant in our society. And that's where groups like foster grandparents, the intergenerational programs which are carried out, can help a great deal. Your attitude, the successful transition into retirement, is to view retirement as an opportunity for growth, for change, and the fulfillment of a lifelong dream, to become active with other people and to find new things and ideas, to take pride in yourself and to learn to relax and to look forward to the future with enthusiasm. And don't worry. Doesn't do you any good to worry. You get older faster, and you get wrinkles on your brow, and you have all kinds of problems. So if you have faith, if you have an opportunity to share your concerns with someone, if you can go for help from your church, from your pastor, from those who are in special roles of seeking to advise people in this area, this is where you go. Okay? What would you like to discuss? Yes?
Have you heard of the Stevens Ministry program?
Mm-hmm.
In our church, we have a very active program there,
right,
where people are trained. They really get trained to be a counselor.
That's right.
And most of our people work with the elderly, but They can be assigned to younger people well, very, just as well. And it's very, very effective. A lot of interest, and the ministers are serving a great purpose in the church.
That's similar to the friendly visitor training program I had under Seagull, the Stevens Ministry. Anybody else have a suggestion? Yes.
Since I've been a widow, my church pastors never call me, and I belong to a big congregation. But the Masons, Masonic Order, my husband was a Mason and a Shriner, they call me about once a month and ask me how I'm getting along and do you need anything done. They're more doing a Christian act than my church is.
Mm-hmm. Have you talked to your church about this?
No.
Why not?
Both pastors know I'm a widow.
Yeah, I know, but have you conveyed to them your concern and your need? Mm-hmm. I mean, pastors don't know everything. They need to be talked to, and you need to make your wishes known. There are all kinds of programs which are available for churches if they will get into them. Not only the Stevens program, but many other programs which are coming about. Instead of just having a monthly supper or dinner, we have a group in our parish in Fort Lauderdale called Pears and Spares. They meet for dinner, lunch, have a program like that. But they don't really do very much to help the lonely people. They do something twice a year to bring them into the church for a communion service if they're unable to have their own transportation, a share and a care group they have. But we need to be concerned about the advocacy and the needs for people. I was a silver-haired legislator one year in Florida, and we worked on legislation for older adults. And our churches are just now getting into advocacy, not only on a state level, but on a national level. We have a person in the ELCA now, in Chicago, who heads up our senior program. You know her name? Anybody? You ought to find out about her. I met her in Washington. And you ought to ask her what the ELCA is doing in the field of aging for not only people in retirement, but for people who are just looking toward that area. Let me hand out these books and give you an opportunity to see what we're going to cover for the rest of the week. Turn, if you will, to that first page. Retirement today is the beginning of a new, lengthy, important stage of life, rich with promise and well worth planning for. Hugh Downs said this in his book on the best years. The magic of making life after work, the best time of life, is in your hands. It's how we look at it. According to Alan Fromm in his book on life after work. You know what the 8 steps are to happier living? They're on page 3. Facing reality, establishing warm relationships, developing outside interests, seeking new adventures, guarding your health, take pride in yourself, learn to relax and laugh often, and look toward the future. What do you think of those? Shaking your head. All right? What do you think the concern of the elderly are for the most part. What is the greatest concern that they have?
Security.
Security?
Lack of money.
Finances?
Catastrophic illness.
Catastrophic illness? Health? Loneliness? What can we do about that as a church? As a society? We're trying to do something about catastrophic illness through what the Congress passed recently, but it's not the final answer. As was stated somewhere already since I've been up here, that there are 30 million people who don't have any health insurance in this country. It's going to be in the discussion tonight on death and dying. 30 million people. And you know who's doing the most to try to get that situation changed? A man who used to be head of HEW. The man who was the president of the National Council of Churches at one time. What's his name? Arthur?
Arthur.
Yeah. We've heard him a couple of times in the National trying to work through this matter of finally getting a national health plan. It won't come about in this Congress, but hopefully maybe in the next Congress. For the time is coming, yes.
You'll have to go out and change the social attitude toward aging in this country before you can achieve something like that.
You think so?
I think so, because all the media and everything dwells and concentrates all their attention on being young and good and active, you know, your BMW and so forth. And they just like to take older people and relegate them once they're finished, just put them off to the side and forget about them. They don't look up to older people in this country.
Who's they?
I would just say society in general.
You think we have a youth-centered society?
I think so, yes.
Do you think it's changing at all?
Very slowly.
Pardon?
With more older people, it's going to change.
Right. And I think industry and the business and so forth are finally getting to the place where they realize that
they can sell to the older people.
There's
too.
Money out there.
You can notice it in the advertisements. If you really watch the advertisements now, you'll see people that are 40, 50, and 60 versus someone who was 20 before.
Right. And you know who's been responsible for a lot of that change? The Gray Panthers. Maggie Coon. She has a media watch group which watches what's on television. And if they display older people as old fogies, you know, things of that nature, they are heard from Maggie Coon's group. And they're changing that. Yes?
Because like myself, I'm going to have more take-home pay in retirement than I had when I was working.
How about that?
Besides not having the expenses of going to work.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Sounds good.
For those who are well off, for those who are well off, I mean, retirement is the way to go, right?
The Scandinavian countries have such a wonderful, good care for the elderly in every respect. But do they have the taxes? Do they pay for it through taxes?
Mm-hmm.
Could our system be patterned after theirs?
If you want to compare systems, just compare us in the United States with Canada. We spend more of our gross national product on health care in this country than the Canadians do. But the Canadians are covered with health care because the government provides for their needs. So there's a discrepancy there as to what we're getting for the dollars that we spend in this country for health care.
Are there too many health givers making profit out of it? That's my feeling ever since Medicare started, but I don't know.
The system is certainly not fault-free. and the rise in health care has been one of the main concerns of AARP in the last 5 years. And if it just continues the way it's going now, we won't be able to afford long-term care for people. And when you come to the forum tonight, you'll hear more about that as to how much it costs for people, keeping people alive, although they're only vegetables, and not allowing them to die. We have a lot to learn. You mentioned Scandinavia. They pay through taxes for the kind of care that they receive. In all of the Scandinavian countries, although they provide very fine living quarters for them, and the health care is taken care of, and so forth, they're having some problems too, because people are living longer now than they thought they would at one time. And so it's costing more.
They have tremendous national debt too.
That's right. That's right. It's a matter of priorities as far as I'm concerned. I mean, what do we want to spend our money for?
Aircraft carriers.
Bombs.
That's what the problem is.
Right. I'm glad you said that.
There's too much emphasis in this country about so-called defense, when it really isn't defense, it's all offensive weaponry that they're buying.
That's right.
So that they can threaten other people and, you know, wave a big sword in front of any would-be enemy. And we concentrate an awful lot of our wealth and all of our treasure on stuff like that and ignore some of the social problems that we have right within our own boundaries.
Right. We have a lot of social problems right here. And unless we change our attitudes towards what our goals are, what it means to live life,
we're going to have trouble. I've been reading a lot of articles lately that maybe the old people are expecting too much. We're going to bankrupt our grandkids. Maybe we're being selfish, asking for catastrophic health care, for instance.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
Well, I guess we really should plan a little better ourselves to take care of ourselves rather than increase this debt so terribly.
How many people have looked into long-term care insurance? Anybody? Yes? Is it affordable?
Out of reach.
Out of reach. And you're from Minnesota?
No, I'm from Oregon.
Oregon, I'm sorry. Okay. AARP has long-term care insurance now, which it is available in certain states, and they're experimenting with it. But the problem is that those of us who are of an age of retirement are really too old to afford it. And it should begin way back in our younger years when we set aside for that. What about this matter of who you would like to be? Look at that sheet that you have there. Did we have any others left over? Somebody sort of stole mine.
There he is.
Retirement offers you the unique opportunity to pursue in-depth interests that you have not had times for earlier. You may become a serious photographer, or you may study gourmet cooking or landscape architecture. You may use much of your time for travel or to volunteer with a local veterans group. Whatever interests you decide to cultivate, you will not be exactly the same person that you are right now. For change is what keeps you challenged, mentally healthy, engaged with life.
It will put you in the fortunate position of being able to engineer some important changes for yourself. And it gives you an opportunity here to think about, if you're retired for 2 years and you're going to be introduced to a group of people who want to know what you do and what your interests are, you write 3 sentences that you would like them to use as your introduction. And you're not permitted to use the words formally or retired from or the spouse of. That's setting goals. That's thinking about new roles. That's trying to determine who you would like to be. We only have a few minutes left here. Let me just say that when we meet, for those of you who are going to be with us on Tuesday, we're going to talk about dynamic fitness, about tips for dealing with stress, about reaping the rewards of time well spent. On Wednesday, about working options, tips for writing a resume, and also housing and lifestyles. On Thursday, on financial security, and on Friday, or Saturday, really. I'm not meeting on Thursday, it's on Friday and Saturday. Legal affairs and estate planning. So you can take these with you, and maybe you'll have more answers than I have. Anything else you'd like to discuss before we leave for our session tonight for Vespers? Yes?
What was the deciding factor in this Notch baby Social Security problem? Why did they choose that particular age group?
1917 through 1921.
Yeah, that
includes me.
That's what I want to know. Why did they choose me? See,
isn't there a specific reason?
Sure. Mm-hmm. They were saying that if they continued with the yearly increase cost of living at the rate that they were going at that time, that many people, as an example was given tonight, are going to have more in retirement than they had during their working years, as far as income is concerned.
I'm still one of those in that.
You're still a Notch baby, yeah. Right? So they said that the Social Security funds would not allow that, because in the years ahead, the number of people who were going to be working to support Social Security people are going to be fewer than at the present time.
Yes, but they're going to be making more money and contributing more, too.
Well, that depends on whether the government, you know, ups the amount each time.
They will.
They probably will. But those of us who are in that Notch problem are losers.
Why didn't they choose somebody from 1932 to 35, born in those years?
I don't know. Yes.
But it's happening in other areas too, because I have a niece that teaches in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And they did something there to bring teacher salaries up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she goes just below it. So she's not going to get it, but she knows that they had to start somewhere.
Right.
And so that she just figures, well, that's the way the ball bounces.
Yeah, that's the way it bounced for me too, because yeah. I was on the steps of the Washington Capitol building when we had a concern for this. Roosevelt, the fellow who just died recently, the president's son, was ahead of this whole group. And we tried to advocate for it, but there was no support from AARP. The AARP said that we can't do anything about it.
Have you heard whether or not there's still action being taken on a proposal to eliminate this, when you reach a certain salary, or rather income level, by working after you're on Social Security, that you lose $1 for every $2 you
earn? Yeah, there's some changes going to be made in that. You know, when you're 70, then you don't have to worry about it. So I don't have to worry about it anymore.
You can make anything you want.
Make anything you want, right.
But I heard they were going to eliminate that entirely for everyone who's on Social Security. At least that's one of the retirement.
They're working on various proposals, but they haven't become the laws yet. But if you read your Modern Maturity, you'll find out that there's a lot of this going on. How many of you are active in local chapters of AARP? Let me see your hands. See? I don't belong to a local chapter either, but in Broward County we have about 25 local chapters, which meet once a month at least, and do all kinds of things, community service, and go on trips and things of that nature. And they also advocate through the state legislative committees on the state scene, and also through the national committees, which get together in Washington and determine what the policies of AARP are going to be. And they decided that the notch problem was not going to be solved, that we have to live with it. And that's the way the cookie crumbles. How many of you are active in your own local churches in advocacy? In advocacy.
For what group?
For any group.
Oh, well, certainly. We all are, I'm sure.
What do you do?
I work for Mission Projects, and I would say that's a good advocacy.
Okay. What about advocating for the...
And Sunday school for children. I prefer to be working with younger people, I guess.
Yeah.
My attitude is that I like to be in a mixed group of ages.
Okay. What about advocating for those of us who are in the older group who may not be taken care of adequately? Are you going to be in that group someday?
I'm taking care of my elderly mother right now, so I'm learning all kinds of things. Sure I am.
Is your state taking care of her needs adequately?
Not the state. She doesn't need state help.
No? Uh-uh. In Florida, we have a program called Community Care for the Elderly, which is unique to Florida as far as states are concerned. And these statewide programs allow for respite care. Do you know what respite care is? They allow for visitations by people who come into the home, home health, things of that nature. Do you have that in your state?
Yes, uh-huh. In our county?
In
Erie
County?
Very good program. I learned a lot about it.
Good.
But right now, she doesn't need that. Her church is taking care of that and her family.
Fine. But many places, people are not receiving those kinds of services. Yes?
Just because our families or whatever it is are receiving the care does not mean that we shouldn't be concerned about the laws of our communities or states, though, that the people are not being taken care of
right.
That do need it.
Right. In the forum tonight, you'll also hear about the fact that those who are the most discriminated against are the poor, and the blacks, minorities. We have a lot of Haitians in Broward County, boat people who came over here. And we need to take care of them as well. So that retirement is a opportunity for people to face the future if you're prepared for it. And we hope that this week we can help each other become better prepared. Thank you very much.
Thank you.